Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another three-hour edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together where we bring you the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, September the 23rd, here in the beautiful year of our Lord, 2021. And thanks for tuning in. I know it's a bit of a stormy night out there. We got no local baseball, but we got football on the screen. Texans, Panthers, two surprising teams, I would say, this year up on the screen tonight. It's been an interesting football season so far, and I'm glad you guys tuned in to us tonight. We're going to break down last Sunday's games, or this past week's game. We'll talk a little about Monday night as well. So thanks for tuning in for to Jeff and I, and we'll get Jeff on in a second. Lots to talk about this week, folks. Let's see, Giants and Jets both lose in different manners, so we'll get to that. Yanks and Mets down the stretch. Tyrod Taylor is out. Who starts in his place for the Texans tonight? Interesting, very interesting. Is the 2021 quarterback class overrated? Sorry, my handwriting is a little crazy on that one. That's an interesting conversation, only two games plus into the season. Let's see, the Giants to honor Eli Sunday. Kiss Bio, Iron Maiden breaks a few records and with some sales. And a big day in NFL history is today. We'll get to that, the NFL news, and anything else that pops up in the world of Jeff Nowinski, Tom Florio, and Hard Rock and Sports Show. Guys, I hope you've had a good week. I hope you guys have been tuning in on Sunday mornings. We're only on the Facebook channel. But a new channel, make sure you subscribe to the Sunday Audible on Facebook so you can get some updates on the show every Sunday morning. Jeff, John Marhefker, and myself get together. We talk football for about an hour and a half, and we break down the day's games. We give you our best bets, which we haven't done exceptionally well on. But we have some fun. We'll break down some injuries. We'll give you fantasy picks, best bets, players of the week, whatever comes to our measly little minds. So, guys, I'm glad you checked in tonight with us. But make sure you come on back on Sunday mornings for the Sunday Audible, starring the cast of characters. And, again, go to the show's Facebook page and make sure you hit the like button. Maybe we get enough likes one day and somebody likes you, start paying attention to us. But let's get the show started, guys. Lots to talk about, lots to get on to. It's a crappy night, so I'm hoping you guys are sitting in the house. You're safe, you're warm, you're dry, and you're maybe got the screen on, but you got the volume on your computer, and you're listening to Hard Rock and Sports. So let's get on the other half of the dynamic duo, my friend of 40 years and a hell of a nice guy, maybe the sexiest guy on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Tomlinski. What's up, Hefe?
I'm getting big things coming through here, man.
You got big things. Do you want to share these big things with us now, or are you looking to hang on to them for a while?
I'm thinking, man, because it's so big.
It's big?
So big, yeah.
Okay.
You want me to tell you?
I probably prefer you don't, but I'm sure you're going to anyway, so you might as well just go ahead and do it.
Well, listen, what I do here,
yeah,
on this side at least, is I try to do the right thing and tell the people what's going on in the sporting world. I try not to hide anything. I try to be, you know, let them know.
So you're the bastion of truth and fairness, so to speak.
And the American way.
And the American way, yes. I forgot about the American way. Yeah, got it. Okay.
So would you like my sources? Tell me.
You have sources?
Yes.
It's not the one about Joe Douglas about to be fired, right?
No.
Okay.
No,
oh, yeah.
Nothing at all to do with Mr. Douglas.
Sub Rooster? Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
One, the Giants are 0-2 and a horrible team this year.
That's a rumor?
That's one thing.
Okay.
The record says they're 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Second, says that Daniel Jones here is an overrated quarterback.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Okay. Third.
Yeah.
Says that Dave Gettleman is on his way out.
Here we go.
Four. Says the Giants' offensive line is in flux as that kid is facing a career-threatening injury. Five. It says that Daniel Jones is not only overrated, but his stats are inflated.
Inflated. Okay.
Overrated and stats inflated.
Go ahead.
Okay.
This is all from your sources.
The final tidbit says that within a few weeks, there's going to be massive changes in the Giants front office,
Namely
at general manager.
Are you done?
That is all I have right now. If anything else comes through the wire, I will definitely get it to you.
To all of you who listen to the show regularly, I want to apologize for the obviously blatant lies, conspiracy theories.
How many games did the Giants win this year?
None.
0-2.
Nobody's being fired.
Not a
Daniel,
lie.
Daniel.
Hold on. Wait. Let's address one thing at a time. You're jumping. You're jumbling around. The kid, the left guard, did not have a broken leg.
Well, he didn't.
Okay. An injury so gruesome, mm-hmm, they did not even show it as a replay.
Exactly.
Replay. Mm-hmm. So that's not a lie, right?
Okay.
Patrick, just sit there. Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Yeah.
All right.
We'll get to the Dave Jets. Gettleman, don't worry. We'll get to the
Dave
Jets.
Dave Gettleman has still not put together a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley is still injured and they're nursing him along. Guy's averaging 20-something yards a game.
Here we go.
Daniel Jones is your best. This whole team is in flux. They're so bad, I'm not even talking about them anymore. I'm just going to totally ignore them.
I'm going to hold off on the Giants, but I'll say this. Daniel Jones was voted by Pro Football Focus, who is the preeminent football stat tracker, and he was ranked number six this week in quarterbacks. He's number nine overall, right behind, one spot behind the one and only Tom Brady, who we'll get to later on. So Daniel Jones is playing our ass in death.
He's coming faster than a stone thrown off a building.
My man played great last week. He would have had almost 200 yards in rushing if had not called back for a blatantly bad call on a holding penalty. But
they had an offensive line that could block.
Well, we'll talk. No, he broke a 60-yarder. He was gone. If it was a penalty downfield to one of the wide receivers,
please,
they said, well.
Please.
So, wait, that's
right. I have one thing to combat everything you're saying.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Go ahead. Put your hat on. Yeah. Oh, you want to put your hat on? Maybe if you throw it up in the air, it'll get intercepted like your boy Zach Wilson. I think he...
Well, learning, man. Learning curve.
Learning curve. Four picks in the learning curve. That's a learning curve?
Yep.
That's called bust, my friend.
No, it's not called,
it's called
bust.
Not a bust.
The second game. If that was the case, then the Daniel Jones would have been taken out and shot.
Daniel Jones never threw four picks in a game. Never looked so bad that he should probably be playing the Staten Island Touchdown League.
He just drops the ball wherever he goes.
I'm just saying.
He fumbles.
My boy Daniel Jones is having a good season so far. Not great, but a good season.
He's played two games.
I just said so far. You're
the only one that is giving him accolades.
I am not. Pro Football Focus, which is the preeminent.
Pro Football Focus.
Look him up, my friend.
You have, rag publication.
Just look them up. Everybody uses them. Everybody quotes Pro Football Focus.
Patrick, just sit there. Thank you, Patrick.
We're going to get to that. We're going to talk a little about the Yankees in a fight for their lives. The Yankees have...
fighting for their lives, too.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Let's talk, you know what? You don't want to bring up Gettleman. You should talk about your own GM, who's the third offensive line he's put together that's crapped out. I'll even show you. Hold on. Let me get it off you. Hold on. What does that say, Jeffrey? Hold on. Let me get that set in for you.
I can't see it.
It says Jets 2020 draft class keeps calling out sick. So the first draft class.
Two or three guys are on the injured reserve right now.
They can't put him. And Mims, your number two pick, can't get on the field.
That kid's a bad apple.
I'm just saying it looks really bad for your GM.
I'm just saying too.
That's all I'm saying. We'll talk about last Sunday's games. We'll go through them all. We'll break down a little bit of Yankees and Mets because the Yankees are in a fight.
Hold on, Patrick. I'm not losing credibility.
Absolutely, Patrick. He is.
I'll tell you why I'm not losing credibility, because I never once ever said the Jets were a team to be reckoned with. Never once.
But here's where you lose your credibility. You never come on the air and say, you know what? Let me break down how bad my team was this week. Let me break down how bad my team is.
I don't have to break down how bad.
You sure you do? That's what those shows about.
Do that every week themselves.
I've
been coming on this show since they drafted Sam Darnold and told you that team sucks every year.
And yet they jettisoned Sam Darnold, and he's 2-0 playing good football. And yet, of course, it's the stink. It's not Sam Darnold.
Because after 2 weeks, careers are made and championships
it's
are won.
The guy couldn't win one game a year. This is the typical thing. You can't win a game
in
green.
And the Giants have won the Super Bowl. Already.
I didn't say the Giants won the Super Bowl. I just call it like it is.
You're saying
it,
saying it.
I call it like it is. I say what I see. I'm the first guy to blast my Giants. I'm the first guy.
You've never blasted.
I absolutely blasted.
Let me ask you something. Right now, this Sunday, the Giants are going to retire Eli Manning's number.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
If the Giants could.
Yep.
Sign Eli Manning to a one-year deal with the possibility of a second-year option. Would you want that?
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Eli hasn't played in 2 years.
All of a sudden, but last year you would have taken him.
Not necessarily. No, I was very, very. I have always been the same way. And all I said was, Eli might not be great, but I'll take him over the retreads in the league when you got a guy.
The worst way.
If the Giants could get a better quarterback for their future, I'm all for it. They drafted one. He's turning into a solid pro right now.
They certainly didn't get a better quarterback than Eli.
Not yet. He's not there yet. Of course not. Eli's won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs.
He was too late. He was lucky.
It was not late. It was solid football. Yes, and Patrick, I'm with you. But, I'm not ready to tell you that the kid's a bust. I thought Zach Wilson, week one, had some good showing. This week, he was a horror. But a lot of people are a horror when they face Bill Belichick, especially rookie quarterbacks. Bill Belichick feasts on rookie quarterbacks.
All of a sudden, you're going a little soft on.
No, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the honest truth. I'm still not overly impressed.
During the week, last Sunday, I should have screenshotted some of them. Ha-ha, his career is over.
Oh, yeah.
Ha-ha, interception.
That's the off-the-mic Tom. The professional Tom will give you the straight thing. Listen.
Professional Tom.
This is professional. I watched the kid play. Now, this week, he looked nothing like a professional quarterback. The accuracy that he's supposed to be famous for, I don't see it. But again, it's only two games in. They'll probably win one game this year. I haven't figured out which game that'll be. Maybe the other team won't show up. That'll be an easy win.
They may win five.
I don't see it yet, but you know, we'll get to the Jets. I want to talk a little baseball. I'm going to get my dad on. I want to get to I'll talk about last Saturday night. There was a great game with Auburn and Penn State. Did you happen to watch the Auburn-Penn State game?
No, I did not.
Great football game. Good job by Penn State.
Because there's so many of them, and I was texting you, and you didn't answer me back, so I didn't know what game you were watching.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, when I was telling you how bad Eli...
Here we go. Yeah, I probably shut up. Yeah, I probably shut up the phone. Yeah, I probably shut up the phone. This week's games, guys, I'll tell you right now, you got some good ones. Let's see. Wisconsin-Notre Dame should be a nice game. That's noon on Fox. Michigan State-Nebraska, 7 o'clock. Nebraska just missed beating Oklahoma. Oklahoma dropped to the standings, but a good showing by Nebraska. Team's making a little bit of a move. We'll see how far it goes. Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Oregon, Arizona, good football games. Florida, Tennessee is usually a very good football game. And for you Rutgers fans, Michigan, home to Rutgers, up by 20.5. Rutgers is 3-0, and with Greg Schiano at the helm, they're playing much better football right now. So, take a look at that game. That game is, let me see. That game is 3:30 on ABC, so you don't get a lot of prime time. You don't get a lot of Channel 7 games for Rutgers. So all you New Jerseyans and all you Rutgers fans, make sure you check that game out. But the Penn State game was a good game. Good job by Penn State coming out the box. I think they're 3-0 now, and certainly should be ranked higher in the AP polls. I think they have them at 6 or 7. Some of the other polls have them much higher, and I agree with that. I think they're playing as good as anybody. Lots of good football.
You know, one bad quarter and these teams drop off the map.
Yeah, you know, listen, you know, again, I say it 100 times, you're going to lose early, but yeah, you're right. Oklahoma won and they dropped 2 spots or 3 spots. So that's just college football.
Dude, it depends on who the other team is.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you can lose to a decent squad, you know, or another good team and not affect your ranking, and then you can beat a bad team like again, case in point, Oklahoma beat a semi-bad team in Nebraska, yet they dropped a few places. So, you know, it's the college football rankings pop up and down. You know, eventually someday they'll probably get to the point where it's a full-time standings, you know, instead of polls. But for now, we'll play what's in front of us. But good job by Penn State last week, and a decent job by Nebraska. I was impressed that they hung in there with Oklahoma, a team that a lot of people thought would go into the playoffs and have a possibility of winning. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But, Jeff, let's start the show off the proper way before we get my dad on. Jeff, how was your week this week?
Long week, man. 12 days straight at work. Thank God that's over.
Oh, yeah. Your boss was out for a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was on vacation.
So that's good and it's bad. It gives you more hours, but the paycheck looks nicer at the end of the week.
Yeah, it does. Hopefully nothing happens before it gets here so that it's mine.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, usually something will happen. The refrigerator will blow up or
that's
whatever.
How...
You know the deal.
Yeah, some big games Sunday coming up for the weekend. So are you back to a regular weekend now? Or are you back on you're off tomorrow working back on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. So, and Jeff, we haven't talked about it in a while. Anything in the music scene? I haven't seen you posting any band stuff, any coming up with new things coming out there. I did see you do a little Motown the other day. It sounded nice.
No, nothing right now. Nothing positive. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I don't know. It may be that time where the pandemic is done in another one. Who the fuck knows?
Very possible. Speaking of done in, our good friends, the Black Sasquatch guys, will be out in the King of Clubs Friday, October 22nd, where along with Evil X, they will be, I think, opening for Raven, a band from my youth. You know, Raven's one of those bands that I don't remember liking, but yet I think I have 4 or 5 of their albums in my collection. Just one of those.
They were your brothers.
No, I don't think so. I vaguely remember going to the city with you and coming out of it with a couple Raven albums a couple times.
Yeah, I wasn't big on them either.
Yeah, you know, when I go back, but good for the Ted and the boys from Black Sasquatch, going to be out there on October 22nd. So if you're in the area, let me give you the address if I can find it on my screen here so you guys can go out and check them out. And make sure, again, Sunday, come on back. We have Rafael Esparza from joining us this Sunday. I got a better setup this week. So make sure you join Raphael when he pops up to talk a little sports with Jeff and myself and John Marhefka on the Sunday Audible, 9 a.m. right here on – well, actually now on the – it will be on the Sunday Audible Facebook page. You'll find it. So make sure you check us out over there. And it'll probably pop up over here too. So everybody – but make sure you hit the like button on that. We got no baseball tonight, Jeff, so lots of football talk about this. Tonight's game's an interesting one. We'll get to that. Let's get my dad on. And then we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk a little bit about KISS. I got a little Iron Maiden for you. We got a lot of football to talk about. Very interesting. Let me ask you a quick question. Can you give me a thought on this past weekend's games? Because there was a lot of interesting games.
Anything? In NFL?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't remember. I did watch just last night the replay of the Cowboys and Chargers game.
A game the Cowboys probably should have lost some bad penalty calls, but a good win for the Cowboys on the road. A game I didn't expect them to win.
Yeah, I don't know what that officiating staff was doing. They pulled everything.
It was well, you know.
Everything.
Yeah, you know, I know that early in the season the NFL likes to call a lot of penalties to kind of set the tone. I know the big one that everybody's talking about is the taunting one, which I like and I dislike. I'm not a big taunting guy, but celebrating or trash talking got to be a little allowed. You know, Jeff, that's what football's kind of all about. I think there's a difference between taunting and trash talking.
Well, you know what? What is trash talking? Trash talking is taunting.
Well, you know, here's what I consider taunting.
Where is the difference between
I'll tell you what the difference for me is. Again, this can only be for me. You hit a guy, knock him to the ground, you stand over him, and you get in his face. That's, to me, is taunting. Trash talking is, I catch a pass, I zip by you, you catch me by the ankles, I get up, and as I'm running past you, I'm talking smack to you. That's trash talking. I know this; it's a fine line. You're 100% right. There's a fine line to it. But I think there is a line that probably should be allowed. Now, again, how do you pick between? It's a judgment call.
Yeah, it's got to be a judgment call, but I guess you got to see what the situation is. You know, if you scored a touchdown and you're running back to your sidelines with your teammates and you're talking loud about it, you know, I wouldn't put too much into that. But if you're pointing back at the other team's, the other sideline, and you're yelling like, you know, I burned you once, so I'm going to do it again, and, you know, that may be trash talk, but if somebody said something about you, like, you know, Tom, you ain't going to be able to catch the ball. And then you caught the ball and you scored an 80-yard run and a touchdown and you're flapping your gums at them, that would be maybe be taunting to me, you know? I don't know. I guess they want to get it in hand. Like, why decipher what is what at the time? Where I could just turn around and say, you know what? That's trash talk. Forget it. Give him a penalty. That's it. But it was just amazing how many penalties in that game alone.
Oh my God, it was crazy. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of bad ones. A couple of bad ones on both sides. But I thought the Chargers. There was a situation late in the game. They were ready to drive. They were driving in, and they called an illegal shift, which wasn't an illegal shift. And then they had a trash talk, some sort of a 15-yard personal foul penalty. They wound up taking themselves out of field goal range and. I thought it was a bad sequence, and again, I thought it was a very bad job by the officiating crew this week. But a decent football game. I mean, the early games were bad. I watched the Steelers and that was Steelers Raiders, and then I watched Jets and Patriots. Which the Steelers the Jet game was boring. The Steelers game wasn't terrible, but they surprisingly lost. But we'll get to that a little bit. I definitely want to get to that. But again, Yankees, Mets, we want to talk about that tonight. Again, the Panthers, Texans, Jeff, two teams probably right now, you know, a little better than probably most of us gave them credit for.
Definitely the Texans a little bit better. I don't think that the Panthers are a better team than people gave them credit for. I just don't think they settled into their place as of yet.
I agree.
I see them holding on to what they're doing now. And, you know, as far as Pittsburgh goes, you got to wonder is how much of that is Roethlisberger's fault as he's getting older. They got no run game, so all they got to do is key in on Roethlisberger, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pretty much stop the Steelers. There were some teams that are just playing sloppy. You know, you got to rethink. This is the second time some of these guys have been playing.
Absolutely. More than a few snaps.
Since the end of last year.
Very possible, yeah. Very true.
You get a guy like Saquon Barkley, who actually probably has only played twice in a year.
Yep.
So, you know, not only did he get an injury that he needed surgery to repair, then he had to sit out almost a year.
Yeah, and then not get any real work in a game situation like the preseason would allow.
Even when he gets real work, it's, you know, it's just Barkley.
Here we go.
He gets his 40 yards a game. He gets 29 yards on one carry, and
here
then the other 17 carries, he divides the other 11 yards up.
Patrick, I agree with you. I know that that's the key early on. They'll pick on seems like this year it's taunting and a illegal man downfield, which is really an odd penalty to be emphasizing. You know, to me, let's say.
Oh, go ahead, because I want to ask a question about
it. Go ahead. Jump in.
There was a play the San Diego Chargers got called for illegal man downfield, and it looked as though that the guy was maybe 2 yards over the line of scrimmage or whatever the case was, and they called illegal man downfield. What kind of impact did he have on the play if the play is 10, 15 yards plus away from where he was actually standing on at the moment?
I would agree with that. I think I don't know if in the moment, maybe Patrick can add to this, is Patrick, when a play like that happens, let's say the guy's 2 yards downfield, like Jeff said, let's overdo it. Let's say he's 5 yards downfield, yet the play was a bomb, was a fly down the field, was an 85-yard touchdown pass. You know, at what point as a referee do you put the flag back in the pocket because the foul did not constitute any sort of an effect on the play? You know what I'm saying, Jeff?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I want to add something to that. Good. Let's say that the play was called on the left side of the field, but yet the guy that's illegally downfield is the right guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the complete opposite side of the field. And it's like there's no way he's getting involved in the play to run across the field and down, you know, like. It just, I they should change that to within reason.
Well, I think that the question becomes at that point, when do you emphasize, you're supposed to call a penalty as a penalty, you know, putting the flag in your pocket because he had no impact. I agree with you. I understand your point. You know, if something's happening on one side of the field, that has no consequence to the play. You know, the guy's just, you know, maybe, I don't know, something that has no consequence to the play. How do you differentiate that between something that affects the play? So it's,
When I could see that maybe being called, let's just come
Patrick,
up with a stupid scenario.
Patrick answered you, by the way.
This is true, but
yeah, Jeff.
Let's just say that you wanted to make some kind of trick play.
Yeah.
Put your fastest wide receiver on the line of scrimmage, okay? And you tell your other guys, you know, do run some mid routes 10, 15 yards away, but yet you tell this guy to fucking burn. Right down the line of scrimmage. But he, you know, and then you get him involved in a play like that. Maybe then I could see them calling something like that you use a position to your advantage, even though that's what the whole game is about.
Right.
But in that certain situation, a blatant, you know, use to help you out. Then I could see that maybe. But, you know, this one, like Patrick saying, thank God somebody has the sense of mind. No, the play happened 15 yards over that way. It has, and this guy has no impact on what happened over there just now. I'm not going to call that.
Yep. Well, let's get back to him. Let's get my dad on. He's been hanging a while. I want to get him on the air and see what he's got this week. And he's on every week list. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? I'm listening to your conversation, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. If you watch the Lions, when they snap that ball, it's virtually not impossible to be a man of field, even if you're a yard up, because you're blocking. So what are you doing? You're pushing this guy back. So it's a call that's, I mean, it's a, I don't see the scope of it. I really don't.
The relevance of it is I understand to a certain extent you don't want guys blocking downfield, but to think to Jeff's point, an offensive lineman who happens to just be standing a couple yards downfield, maybe made a block, maybe he was just getting up from a block, maybe, whatever, and a play happens way downfield or way away from him, how does that impact it? So I think Jeff's got a good point, but Patrick, I understand Patrick's point. You know, they get graded if they miss calls or if they make bad calls, and it affects the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So,
Well, it's a judgment call, though. How can you distinguish? I think most plays are judgment calls. Right. Now, if a guy's standing, you can play devil's advocate. If a guy's on the right side and one guy's on the left, the guy on the left side is holding and he's throwing the ball to the right, what impact did that have? Then you can say, well, maybe if the guy on the left didn't get held, he would have threw the ball to him. So, there's like a judgment.
I agree. I think that's why I think in the end they err on the side of calling anything that they see, because how do you know whether it impacts the thing or not, Jeff?
You know, I understand the whole point of it's a penalty. It's a penalty. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, sometimes a judgment call is the right call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a pass interference on one side, but meanwhile the quarterback is looking to his left the whole entire time and throws the ball to the left, but the guy on the right is getting mugged.
Mm-hmm.
But the quarterback never once looked back over that way. So I understand it's a pass interference, but did it really interfere with the pass that was being thrown if the quarterback didn't even look at him?
No, I don't know.
I guess what's the sense of calling a penalty if you're going to have so many, is it this, is it that, possibilities? I guess it has to be cut and dry. You interfered, you went past the line of scrimmage, whatever the case is, penalty, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, guys, make sure again on Friday, October 22nd, you head down to the King of Clubs, and then you join our good friends Black Sasquatch along with Evil X. As they open up for Raven in their Metal City tour. I don't have much else information, at least it's not on my screen, but guys, make sure you get down and you check out our good friends from Black Sasquatch. They got a new single out, got to listen to it. Great job by the boys, and maybe I'll get some permission to play it on the air one of these days. And I think those guys are going to come on right before the show, maybe about the 15th, to do a little something. So looking forward to either Ted or Bob or one of the boys joining in. So Pop, what else is on your mind this week?
No, not too much. Just I'm enjoying the baseball. We're getting down to the final game.
Mm-hmm.
But we had this conversation during the week. And if they don't get rid of Sanchez, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't. I just can't. I mean, Posada, when he first came up, was a decent hitter, but he wasn't really a bad catcher, but he got better as the years went on. But this guy is, oh my God, I can't understand why they're so in love with him. Do they really? I mean, how much longer are they going to wait for him to really crap out? I mean, he's made more mistakes than, oh God, I can't even count.
You know what? I think this year it was a sense of they were trying to not spend a lot of money on a catcher. He was a relatively cheap alternative, and I think they were still trying to hold out hope that he would turn it around. I would almost guarantee you he will not be back next year, but I will tell you that I'll have a hard time watching next year if he's back, because he is blatantly bad and a guy who just doesn't want to get better at his craft, Pop. So I'm with you. I'm going to have a hard time watching the Yankees in the future. But for now, we're stuck with him. He's going to play. And 9 games left. It's a playoff atmosphere. Every game's the playoffs. You got to win. You got to go out there and almost win every game.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And I got to side with Jeff. I like the Jets. I think they have a nucleus. It's a shame that they threw this kid in right away. Generally, as a rule, you keep him out for at least a year and have somebody work with him playing the game and let him. He's thrown right in. And as everybody knows, there's a big difference between college and the pros. I mean,
yeah.
You get guys 340 pounds that run like a deer.
College is different. You got, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys on a college team who are going to be pros who make a difference, and you're out there playing against the pros every week, and there's 11 guys out there who make a difference. So it's a big difference.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, their quarterback. I think he's going to really be I think this is the one they got, and I think they got the right one.
It remains to be seen. I'll tell you this, in all honesty, I thought the first week he did a nice job. When I say did a nice job, I thought he represented himself pretty well. He didn't play great, but I thought he represented himself. This week, I thought he was lost. I still don't see his big attribute is supposed to be his ability to get out of the pocket, but is also to throw the ball accurately, and he has not shown that at all in two games. In two games, he's had five
picks. I don't know how anybody could give him any kind of – he's supposed to have something in the pros because, again, like we said before, there's a big difference between them.
I'm watching guys like Justin Herbert last year was a rookie, came out and showed himself well. I watched Mac Jones play Sunday. Not great, but he was efficient, 22 of 30, 200-something yards. I'm not knocking a kid to the point where I say he's got to go. I'm just saying is you can have a transition period and still be somewhat accountable as a football player. And what I've seen so far is not good. I this week was terrible.
I think he's going to wind up being a good quarterback.
All right,
I think he's going to be. I mean, I'm you know, I'm a Giant fan, but
yeah.
I think this kid is going to be number one quarterback in the city, it might be
possible.
He has all the credentials to do it, and I hope. I like to see both teams get up there.
Yeah,
it's like the garbage; they're terrible.
Yeah,
all right,
you know,
let's guys go.
Thanks, Pops.
Enjoy the rest of your show,
right.
And I'll talk to you over the weekend, Tommy.
Yeah, I'll talk to you over the weekend, Pops. Thanks for calling.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess my wife didn't let me know.
Didn't tell you yet, okay.
I guess not. Okay,
all right, I'll
talk
to you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
All right, Pops.
See you later, Mr. Boyer.
That's my daddy. Checks in every week with us, and it's always great to have him. What's your thought on that, Jeff, with regards to are you confident at this point that, you know, this Zach Wilson is your guy? I mean, are you – have you seen enough to say?
He can't say nothing after two games either way.
Yeah.
You know, if he had two great games, you know, you can't turn around and say anoint him the savior and everything else. And then he has two bad games and, you know, that's it. I looked up, Frank Catalano just popped up and he brought about Teddy Bridgewater. Before the season started, they were saying was that the race came down between Bridgewater and Drew Lock because there was nobody else for mm-hmm. them to try. Now all of a sudden Bridgewater's playing like an all-pro.
Yep.
You don't know. This kid is not going to go out there and throw five interceptions every week.
I wouldn't think so.
Nah, of course not. You just have to hope that he develops. I think that he's trying too hard, and that was part of the reason
why
he threw so many interceptions. There was one where he should have just never thrown the ball.
Yes.
And I think he's trying to show people that, you know, I could take that chance and I could be efficient with it, but didn't work out, you know?
Yeah,
I
thought Salah's quote after the game was a good one. He said, I have to just teach him to be boring. And I think it was pretty apropos to just say, hey,
what's
you know,
up,
if there's what's up, Digga? What's up, Will? What's up, Frank? I thought Salah's quote to say, you know, be boring in the sense that, if it ain't there, just throw it to the back or take off and run or throw it away. Be boring and live to fight the next play. And I thought he was a little overly aggressive.
The one thing that gets me, right, you'll hear them talk like this. This isn't the first time or the last time that we'll ever talk like this about any quarterback on any team.
Uh-huh.
But what the fuck has he been doing for the last, say, 6 to 10 years football-wise? You know, from when he was playing Pop Warner football in the park someplace, did they tell him force it in there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he went to high school. He played in high school. Did they tell him That's the guy you're throwing to. Don't put take your eyes off him. Throw the ball to him. Then when you go to college, you did something in college because you were drafted second or third or whatever it is that he was drafted. Second. So you were drafted second in the NFL draft. Okay, that definitely has to speak somewhat for your pedigree. You should be that much better than everybody else coming in. So that that way by the end of your first year, you're this much better than everybody else because you already have somewhat of a learning curve.
Well, but, sometimes you know, it takes longer to get it, Jeff. I mean, listen, we can look around the league a little bit. I mean, Sam Darnold, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's clicked for him this year. Who knows? He's got a couple of weapons. Maybe Sam Darnold just learned how to play quarterback year four, year five, whatever it is. You know, we could point to Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill took years before he wound up in Tennessee, and now people have him in the top 10 as quarterbacks are in the league. I'm not a huge Tannehill fan, but, you know.
People have these guys, Tom, in the top 10 because you know why? You don't have a top 10 like you did 5 years ago, 3 years ago.
I'll agree with that.
Manning's gone. Brady's getting older. Roethlisberger's getting older. Rivers isn't dead. Breeze isn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton's not there. There's a lot more that aren't there right
now. I agree. I think we said it.
Right now, real quick, just real quick off the top of your head, okay? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to do it. Give me a top three quarterbacks in the league right now.
Brady. I still got to say Aaron Rodgers and probably Russell Wilson. I'm not the biggest fan, but I would go Russell Wilson.
Okay, so you didn't even name Mahomes.
Nope, I didn't name Mahomes.
Okay, so
that's a tough one. Yeah, there you go.
It took you longer than 5 seconds to come up with three names. Meanwhile, 5 years ago,
oh yeah,
you would have just said Breeze, Brady, Manning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Roethlisberger, Rivers, like Manning.
Roethlisberger, however you wanted to go. Now I don't know. Would you even consider that a solid top three?
Well, again, I think the tough part is once you get out of the three, four, five, then it gets to be tough. You know, so let's just say it's no particular order. You're right, Dig. I got you. I just it didn't pop in my head. You gave it to me quick, but let's say it's Mahomes and Brady. Rodgers is still there. Let's say Russell Wilson's there. There's four. Now you start to think after that. Who's the next two or three guys? You know, who's that guy that you would put up there every week? It's not Kirk Cousins. You know, is it Derek Carr? Can we put Derek Carr in our top five, six, seven?
Look at it this way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Think of this.
Yeah.
AFC East, you got four relatively new quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Two brand new, one semi-new, one that's,
got a couple years.
He's been there 3-4 years.
Yeah,
now.
There's another guy. Josh Allen should be in the top five. Yeah.
He didn't come out on the
I agree. I agree. I mean? Yeah, I get it.
And if you think about it, how many new quarterbacks are in this league fighting to make their stance, fighting to get into position?
Bunching them right now. Yeah.
You know, you have Deshaun Watson, who's probably never going to throw another pass this year.
No, definitely not this year.
He's not going to play. He's better than some of these guys that are out there.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Listen, these guys, Andy Dalton started this season out. Andy Dalton's a backup on most teams. Now we'll see what Justin Fields has. Again, Sam Darnold has looked, he's hitting the first couple of games. Jameis Winston had a little Jekyll and Hyde so far this year. So, Kyler Murray's no slouch. I'm not a huge Kyler Murray guy. I know Jeff's probably more higher up on Kyler Murray than I am. I'm not a huge Kyler Murray guy. I'm not yet, at least. He's got a ways to go for me.
Listen, what do you want this guy to punch his ticket to the Hall of Fame right now? If you were to take a top 10, he's definitely within the top 10.
Probably, but is it because it's a lack of other competition?
I don't think it's Stafford, of a lack of a competition. I just think it's because he belongs in the top 10.
Frankie, Stafford to me, let me know the next time Stafford wins a big game. Then I will talk to you about it. But, the guy walked around with the best receiver of this era, and Calvin Johnson did nothing. I know the team around them wasn't great. But until he wins big games, I can't put him in that. I can't put him in that category yet. No chance for me. I'm not a believer in Dak Prescott. I'm not a believer in some of these other guys. But you know, it's going to be interesting. Got some guys getting their feet wet, and we'll see how that plays. Let's talk a little baseball before we get over. I want to just finish up that Sanchez Yankee thing. So Yankees 9 games, destiny is in their hands. You got 3 with the Red Sox, you get 3 with Toronto, and then 3 with Tampa. Yankees obviously have the tougher road here. Boston gets obviously the Yankees. Then they get Red Sox and the Yankees, Orioles, Nationals. The Jays have the Twins, Yankees, and Orioles. So much easier path to the playoffs for those teams than the Yankees. But you know what? You're the Yankees. You have a, you know, $200-something million payroll. Let's win some games. Probably got to go with a minimum 6-3, probably 7-2 to get in the playoffs if you're the Yankees. And at this point, I'm sorry. I want to see more of a one. Give me one lineup. I want Rizzo playing every night. You know, I want his defense in there. I want Gallo playing. Gardner coming off the bench probably. You know, but I do understand getting him out there, getting some speed in the game. But I wish they'd go back a little bit to that lineup that they had when they were winning 13 games, Jeff. And they were stealing bases and bunting and just making stuff happen, without the home run. So it's going to be an interesting week and a half for the Yankees.
It's hard to believe that baseball season is almost over.
Yeah, it's right. It's right in front of us. So, you know, I mean, obviously you got the second half of the season with the playoffs kicking in. And, I like the Yankees' chances, but Pete's right. You got to win 2 out of 3 in Boston. You got to go up in Toronto, win 2 out of 3. And then, you got to hope that Tampa's, going to kind of coast the last game of the last week of the season. And, you go up there and you go down there and sweep them. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting end of the baseball season. The Mets are done. And the Mets have a big off season in front of them. There's a lot of questions. Cano. Who's going to play second next year? What do you do with McNeil and Davis, Conforto, Syndergaard, the bullpen? There's a lot of questions on the Mets side of the field. I think the only solid areas are shortstop, catcher, first base. You might need all 3 outfield spots at this point. So there's a lot, they're probably going to be getting a new manager. So there's a lot of questions on its side. And DeGrom, I think DeGrom's the best pitcher of this era. But the guy's got to stay on the field for a full season. He's just got to stay out there.
Why don't they maybe trade some of these things away? Get rid of DeGrom. Trade, get some pieces for him.
Jeff, I got to tell you, there's a smart theory to that, because you've had him now for a few years, 6 years, 7 years. And you ain't won anything with him. So, to me, if you could find a contender to trade him to and get some big pieces back, it ain't dumb. But it'll never happen. The Mets would get ripped by their fans. He's the one reason most people tune into the games. Frank, the problem is the guy you should try to hire, Epstein, doesn't want the job. You better hope that Cashman gets fired. Maybe you can hire Cashman. But, and you're going to get a new manager. But, It's not a dumb idea. I have to be honest with you. At this point, you haven't won with this, with that rotation, but you better get a bunch of good stuff back and not just some bunch of minor leaguers, Jeff.
We got to do something, because year after year after year, they do so good to start off the season, and then they just seem to falter by May.
Yeah. And I think, there is something to me that there is a bit of something in the DNA of a team. When you're a team that's perennial losers, and not that the Mets are perennial losers, they've had some good teams, but when you get in that rut, it's hard to get out. And even with a change in ownership, I think this Met team probably needs to have a big change. So I don't know. Pete, last year I think he had some stuff. The year before, I think it was, up until then, I think it was okay. I'd have to go back and look, but
he seems to have a little spot every season where he has a little something happen.
Yeah, and again, listen, the guy's 30-something years old. When he missed the season, nobody knows why. Nobody really knows what happened and why he's out. And there's been some rumors. I heard it on a couple of shows where they say that when he doesn't feel like he's 100%, he doesn't want to pitch. And while that's admirable, and I guess most people would want that to be, I would tell you that any major league player who's playing into August and September is never going to be 100%. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's not a dumb thing, Jeff, to think that maybe the trading of a DeGrom, bringing back something big for him. I'm gonna take a look at his stats. Let's see if maybe Diggs right. Maybe DeGrom's been more healthy than I thought. Let me see how many starts a year he's got. So let's see. 22, 30, 24, 31, 32. All right, so last year only 12, but that was a short season, and 15 this year. Other than that, Pete, you're right. 32, 32, 31, 24. Not as terrible as I thought. So I'm going to give you the nod on that one, that I was a little off. I thought he missed the season before that. I thought he missed a lot of starts. 12, 32.
It was only, what, 60 games, 70 games?
Yeah, no, 12 starts in a 60-game season is not horrendous. So that equals out to a lot of starts. So, maybe it's just this year.
But if he misses one or two starts, that's big.
Well, again, Well, last year probably could have gotten 15 starts maybe out of that. But, again, not terrible. And wins and losses don't mean anything anymore to me. You know, they just never hit for the poor guy. I mean, the guy just, no matter what happens, he can't get run production. But again, you know, I hope this year's an aberration then. So I'm a little off on that one. But yes, dump Rojas as manager is a no brainer. I think that's coming. So Billy Beane's an interesting one. But you know what, Bill? No, Frank. What has he won? I get it. He's a genius. What has he won over there in Oakland? You know, the perennial playoff team that loses in the first round to the Yankees. So I get the point. He's done a job with not spending any money, but he hasn't won anything. There's no hardware in the case. So you got to, the guy is, they got to go shower the money and go get Epstein. He turned around the Red Sox. He turned around the Cubs. Man, if you bring him here and he turns around the Mets, forget it. There's nothing left. So, but no, Billy Beane.
I don't know, Tom. I don't know. Yeah, Billy. You know, the Mets seem to be a special case.
Yeah, I agree.
Every year it's the same thing. This is their year. Well, they're doing better, and then it never happens.
That's my point, though, Jeff. If you come in here and you can actually turn this around and get them to win something, boy, I they'd be carrying you through the streets. You wouldn't buy a dinner. You wouldn't ever buy a dinner. But Billy Beane, again, they made a movie about the guy. Terrific, but there's no hardware in the case. So I want to see a little hardware in the case before. But again, anybody's got to be better than what they got right now. So I'd ask you, if you're a Met fan, you take anything.
Just because there's hardware in the case doesn't mean it's necessarily earned, huh?
I know you want to throw that out there, but I would absolutely disagree with that. But it's an interesting offseason for the Mets. I think more so than the Yankees, but even the Yankees have a little bit of an interesting offseason. But the Yankees, I want to get through the rest of the season. And then we'll talk about the offseason. For the Mets, though, Cano, I think they got to eat the contract. You can't bring him back and let him play second. Now, if there's a DH next year, could you keep him on the team? I don't know. He only seems to hit when he's on steroids. So I can't see bringing him back. But there's a lot second, third, the entire outfield, your pitching staff. You know, do you give Syndergaard another contract? He hasn't pitched in 2 years. Conforto, you offer him what you can, but you know, there's a big the Mets need a DNA change, and I think this is the year to do it. But you got to go get the right guy to lead the team. So we'll see how that plays out. Of course, this is the Hard Rockin' Sports Show Thursday nights. Jeff Konwinski, Tom Florio, talking to you guys. Your hockey season's a couple weeks away. I can't believe it, Jeff. And probably about a month from basketball. I can't believe it.
Hockey season's October 13th.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, boy. I'm seeing Ranger stuff in the paper every day, and I'm like, why is that? And then they said the season's 2 weeks and change away or something. I said, wow. So we got a lot. Mm-hmm. But we're in the middle of football. We got baseball second half, the real season of baseball starting up. And we got plenty of stuff to talk about today. We'll get to some music stuff in a little bit. See, I don't know about Nimmo. I think Nimmo's a good fourth guy. I don't want Nimmo to be my number one center fielder. I'm sorry, Patrick. If I'm the Mets, Nimmo's a guy I want off the bench. You play, you know, three times a week, maybe four times a week. Spot starts all over the place. But I don't want Nimmo to be my number one center fielder. Sorry, I'm up taking that one. But Jeff, let's run through. You want to do the Jets and Giants, and then we'll run through the league, or you want to run through the league first?
Whatever you want to do, man.
Let's go through Jets and Giants. We'll start with the Giants. We talked about the Jets a little bit. We'll get to the Giants right now. Tough loss last Thursday night. I thought Jones and the offensive line played really well. They didn't run the ball well. One big burst from Saquon, Jeff. But another disappointing game for the defense. And that's what's bothering me. You know, that's a game that they should have won. The offense put 29 points on against a team, Jeff, that you said was probably the best defense, especially in that division, but maybe in the league, in the Washington football team.
Yeah, but Washington, supposedly their defense hasn't started to really click yet. You know, it's going to take you 3-4 games, I think, before these teams are really firing on all cylinders because of the lack of preseason and the extra game in the regular season. I mean, when do you really start going all out? You want to try to curtail some usage on some of your players.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to keep them rested and keep them sharp? You don't want to
wear them
out before September ends.
Well, again, it's that they didn't get enough work in the preseason and they used the beginning of the season. So you're right. You're kind of bringing the guys along slowly. You know, a question I have is at this point, are the offenses at an advantage because of the lack of preseason, or is it the defense? To me, it's the defense because defense is a little more, while everything is coordinated, you know, it's a little more one-on-one out there. I think the defenses should be ahead of offenses at this point and not necessarily the other way around, but do you disagree with that?
No, I definitely agree because no matter whether it's game one or game 12 or game 17, it doesn't matter. The defense is always going to react, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The defense is not going to be the one to lead the charge. They always have to react to what the offense does. So, you know, unless they line up right and they know that there's with a blitz, they're gonna kill the quarterback, it's kind of hard for a defense to lead the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another couple games, I think it'll be easier for these defenses to do that. But right now, as it stands, I could see that, you know, the offense is going to have the upper hand without a doubt. They know the play,
mm-hmm.
and they have to execute. The defense, they have to react, then execute. So not saying the offense has it made where they're going to, you know, quarterback's going to throw for 500 yards all season long until the offense defenses are, back up to top shape for themselves. But it's when you know what the play is and how to run it and you practice it,
okay,
you get you the upper hand, without a doubt.
Yeah, I just think that it's easier to play defense. It's a lot of the matchups, corners, defensive line are one-on-one battles and not necessarily a coordinated effort like the offense is, pulling guards, traps, you know, receivers running the right routes, who's in the right depth. I think that takes a little more on timing than the defense. But, again, I think a good job by the Giants last week offensively. 29 points, they should win that game. Critiques, again, I think that they need to run the ball better. The offensive line could not muster a decent running game. Saquon had a nice burst for 40 yards, had 50-something or 67 yards rushing for the game. But
I think that's what he has for the season.
What he has for the season, I'm not sure, but he had like 57 in that game, I think.
We're finding it right now, Tommy.
Yeah, so again, I think a nice job by the offensive line in the pass protection mode. I think they did a nice job keeping Daniel Jones upright. Daniel Jones, I think, had a great game. Let's say a very good game.
Barkley has 83 yards on the season.
Correct, okay. So, yeah, and I think it was 60-something.
And the long of it is 41.
Correct. Right. I know you're happy. I know you're happy. But that's okay. I think he'll get stronger and better as the season goes on. But, again, I like to see that the weapons for the Giants. Kadarius Toney has done nothing so far. Galladay didn't like the game, didn't like the way he played. Too many drops for a guy who wants to be yelling and screaming on the sideline. Shepard's been great. Some of the lesser guys have done a nice job. Caden Smith, Rudolph, they've done a nice job at tight end. So, again, not terrible offensively, but the defense has got to step it up. It's, you know, the defense.
Rudolph and everything. I don't even think he has a rookie ball.
He has catches. He has no touchdowns yet, but he has a couple catches at least. Yeah, in this game. I'm not sure what the first game.
Let's see. He has four receptions for 33 yards.
Okay. Most of that was
up the league.
Again, it's a nice early start. It's okay. I'm okay with it.
Galladay, 7 receptions for 102 yards. Man, what is their new guy? What is it? Kadarius Toney, 2 receptions for negative 2 yards.
And Shepard's had a good year so far, so not too bad for the Giants. So, again, offense has not been their problem. It's been the defense. The defense has not stepped up. And it needs to this week. This is a big week for the Giants. Again, we'll talk about it more on Sunday. But this is, you know, if you can have a must-winning game 3, this is it. Because the depth has it.
With Leonard Williams, they went out and signed this guy, a free agent, after trading for him from the Jets, which they traded too much for him. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're in the middle of getting hoodwinked on this one, no?
I don't know, Jeff. It's, again, 2 weeks in. I think he's made some nice plays in the run game. He's played really well in the run game, but they have not produced a pass rush in the sense of sacks. I bet she's got a bunch of quarterback pressures, but I want to see the sacks I saw last year. So I'm holding out. We'll see how that goes. I don't think the defense has been good in general. Bradbury took a step back. I don't think the safeties have played exceptionally well. Giants need a big week on defense. And a big win this week because you go to Seattle and Dallas after that. You got the Bucks coming up. You got the Chiefs coming up. A lot of big games for the Giants. But I will tell you this. It's not so far. I will not blame the quarterback, and I'm not going to blame the offensive line. The offensive line played well enough to play well. It's 100% on the D, and this team could be at least 1-1 right now. So
I don't know. Anything I've seen, they didn't look very sharp.
Again, defensively, I agree with you. Offensively, I've watched every snap of both games. And listen, your quarterback is number 6 in the league. Quarterback as a quarterback, I think he's played well. He's had only one fumble so far this year. He's had 4 turnovers in the last 8 or 9 games. So again, a better stretch. But they need wins. It's time to get some wins. And this Sunday, they'll be honoring the legend himself, Mr. Eli Manning, by not only placing him in the Ring of Honor, they will also be retiring his uniform, which I would agree with. Which I certainly agree with.
Oh, I thought you said you'd
be. No, I certainly agree. Listen, I'm not the biggest guy on uniform numbers being retired. There's certain players I think deserve it. You know, Eli, two Super Bowls and all that, I put him in there. You know, I don't have a major problem with it. But to me, uniform number being retired needs to be Hall of Famers for the most part. Needs to be guys who are special. You know, so, again, I want to be careful when you're retiring a number. You know, I can rattle off 4 or 5 Yankees that I think shouldn't. Never had their numbers retired. But a big win for the Yankees. Giants this week would be nice to have a good game on Eli Manning Day coming up down the line. They'll be doing the same thing for Michael Strahan, who absolutely is one of the best defensive linemen I ever got to watch from a pass rushing standpoint and as a run defender. Michael Strahan was an absolute beast as a defensive lineman. So, again, big game for the Giants this week. You cannot go 0-3. You cannot lose this game at home on Eli Manning Day, Jeff. It's just it would be a disaster.
You know, I hear you, and I'm pulling for that.
Not at all.
There'd be nothing better than to sit here next Thursday with the Giants at 0-3.
Yeah, you're smiling.
Would you be throwing in the towel then?
I'll never throw the towel in because you can never know. Last year, listen, they want to run the second half. It's a 17-game season. But you got a tough stretch coming up, and you need to win. And this team needs to win games. It's like anything else. If you repetitiveness, it just breeds that. And if you keep losing, when it gets that tough part of the game, you're just sitting in the back of your head going, "We're going to wind up losing this game." And that mentality needs to change. You know, losing that game. I know you didn't see the end, but you know they played well enough. Then they give up a couple of easy drives. They drive down, they score points, they're up by 2, up by 1, and they go out there, and the guy misses the kick. You think you win the game. I was hooting and hollering, giving the finger to the other team, And also you see the flag on the ground, and the guy over the ball, who should never be offsides, and like I said, I've said this on the during the week of the people, I'm not sure he was actually offside, but you don't jump and give the opportunity, and the guy got another shot 5 yards closer and nailed it, and the Giants lost, so you deserve to lose. Tough way to lose. We get on to this week, but let's move on to the Jets a little bit here. Let's talk about the atrocity of that game. I want to talk about all the quarterbacks, but let's see, Jeff, his quarterback rating for this week. I did make some notes on it. Okay, 19 of 33, 210 yards, no touchdouns, four INTs, and an 8.8 quarterback rating.
It's pretty high.
That's almost as much as, you know,
it's almost a 10.
0.0, Mr. Butarski. That's how close that is to that. No, again, I'll say this. I think the Jets' defense is not bad. I want to see them against a big-time quarterback. Maybe even this week going out there.
They're fucking shredded.
Again, their defense, I don't know what to make of their defense. I mean, their defensive line has been good. The secondary is not good, and I'm not sure about the linebackers, but they've played well as a group. And I'm curious to see them against a good quarterback and a good offense. You know, so far it's been Sam Darnold. This week was Mac Jones, who was very conservative. And they did a nice job in the second half of the first game. And this week's game, I thought they played well most of the game. Other than, did you see the one tackle with a Patriot running back? I meant to download it and get a chance. He ran through seven different tackles to score a touchdown.
I think I saw that play. That was pretty sick. If it's the one I think I saw it.
Yeah, so to me, I want to see a good showing this week from the defense, win or lose. They're underdogs, I think, like 10 points out in Denver. Again, I'm not big on Denver at this point, but, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's played well. And this will be a good showing for the Jets and their defense. So, but other than that, the offensive line has not been good. Not great play from their receiving core. Lots of drops from Corey Davis. Running game's been okay. I love this kid, Michael Carter, Jeff. I don't know if you got to watch him play. But boy, he runs hard. Boy, he runs hard.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to watch much. Listen, it is what it is. They don't have to keep that hard of an eye on the Jets offense, man. It's just,
well,
they're missing some playmakers.
Yeah, again, I think what you want to watch is for the future. Again, I'm not going to judge the kid off two games. I've not been overly impressed, but I haven't gone out there and said, "Wow, this kid's overmatched. He shouldn't even be out there at this point." He's not. He's just trying. I think you said it earlier. I think he's trying too hard.
He definitely is.
So I think that's a big problem for him. Yeah.
He's trying to throw passes into positions where he shouldn't be throwing them. And I mean, there was one interception he threw that the receiver was nowhere near the ball.
Yeah.
The defender just like moved over a step and he caught it. It was right there.
Yeah.
I don't understand the way of thinking.
Yeah. You know, I don't know either. I mean, listen, I think Lawrence has struggled this year. He has struggled. Mac Jones has been okay. I think Mac Jones is in a good system where they're not completely reliant on him. We'll see what we get at Justin Fields this week. So, again, Trey Lance didn't play this week, only played sparingly in the first game. So, you know, we'll see how this quarterback plays. There is some rumors running around. People are questioning this draft. I mean, you got to be 3 years before you can start labeling any draft class as busts or a great class. I don't think this is a terrible class yet. We'll get remains to be seen how it plays out. But as far as the Jets go, you know, not much to grade the team on so far, Jeff. I mean, very lackluster performances, and I won't give you anything on the quarterback or the coach. I don't know if you come up with anything so far.
I have plenty of stuff in here.
Go ahead.
You know what this is, right?
That is the Jeff book.
Jets on what? Of what?
I have no idea.
The Giants.
We're back to the Giants? I thought we were talking Jets.
Yeah, we are, but I'm just letting you know that I have plenty of firepower here.
Again, I'm not knocking the team. I'm just giving you my honest opinion. I think
honesty will get you more.
But I will tell you this. I am down on your GM, and I'll tell you why. A, his first real draft class has so far not been overly I can give you the stats. You know, not talking about this year. I'm talking about last year's draft class. I know it's only 2 years this year, but counting last year, Those guys have not made a significant imprint on the team. I also think that his is, and you can tell Mitch too, but he was the guy who took them into this first season with an offensive line that, to me, that's on his watch. So, to me, 3 years in, and this offensive line is nowhere near as good as where it needs to be. Yes, Jess. The Jets will be 0-3 this year, this week.
Give it time, and maybe it'll be 0-3, but you know what? Rome was not built in a day.
But how long do you go? You're all over my man Gettleman. It's fourth year. You're all over Gettleman. I got it. And your biggest thing is the offensive line, but your boy's 3 years in, and the offensive line is horrendous still.
Yes, but Joe Douglas didn't come in saying, hey, he's going to fill up the place with hog mollies and start in the trenches and work his way out from there. Gettleman did. Gettleman did, and he hasn't done anything. One of your best offensive linemen sat out last year due to COVID restrictions, and it finally came back to play after a year off. You know, it makes you think what else they got. You didn't do much to upgrade this unit.
Again, I thought they went with the young kids. So far, I know Lemieux's out now for the season. Gates got hurt. He's out for the season. You know, injuries happen. I'm not going to knock him on that. Guys who came in, he brought in Joe Don Looney. He brought in the other guy from Frisco, I think it was. They both walked out of camp. They couldn't handle the pace of the practices and the physical part of the giant practices, and that's fine. I think the offensive line's been good. It's not been great. This has been good this year. It needs to run the ball better. I think it'll get there along the way. But offensively, the Giants, there's no problem with the Giants right now offensively. They're scoring points. The defense just has not been able to shut anybody down. And, yes, Frankie, I like the Broncos this week. I'm not sure on the cover, but I took them in one of my pools. So I got the Broncos beating the Jets and probably by double digits.
Broncos are going to beat the Jets without a doubt. Fucking Teddy Bridgewater is going to fling the ball around. He's going to look like fucking Doug Williams in the fucking Super Bowl. You got to be kidding me.
Well, yeah, again, you always got to worry about the trap game. You always got to look, you're back home. You're facing an 0-2 team that hasn't done anything. You always got to get a little nervous.
There's no reason to get nervous with the Jets.
So, but we'll see. But again, it's way too early, but that's what we do here. We break down the Jets, the Giants. And we're going to go around the league right now from each of last week's games. And then we're going to talk a little Kiss, a little Iron Maiden, and then close out with a couple of things. And again, remember, Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock, before you tune into the other pregame shows, tune into our pregame show where John Marhefka, Jeff Tawinski, and myself get together every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And we talk today's games, best bets. We'll break down fantasy. We'll go through plays of the week and all that good stuff right here on the Sunday Audible show, on the Sunday Audible radio network. And, of course, go to the Sunday Audible Facebook page and give it a click. Give it a click for us.
I just run and grab something to drink.
Good, Jeff. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll be right back.
Let's see. Let me see what else I want to sneak in here while Jeff's running around. If I got anything else. I did the Yankees. I did the Mets. Yeah, I'll talk about tonight's game a little bit with Jeff before we go on. Again, guys, good games this weekend. I'm trying to think the game of the week to me. Michigan Rutgers may be a fun game. I'm not sure. Clemson, North Carolina State, number 10. I'm not seeing I've got to go through it again, but I'm not seeing some really good games this week. But there's some fun games. Florida, Tennessee should be a fun game. Michigan State, Nebraska should be. Alabama's 45 over Southern Miss. That's a game that you're not going to want to watch. Georgia and Vandy, it's not a bad game. So watch some college football this week. Get ready for the pros have a lot of fun. A lot of baseball still to play with the last 2 weeks of the season or last week and change of the season. So make sure you guys come back. Big game tonight. Texans, the surprising Houston Texans with Tyrod Taylor, but not Tyrod tonight. Let's see. Houston, team that I thought would go 0 for the season with all the controversy, that is 1-1. Tyrod is out, and Davis Mills starting at quarterback, a recent draft choice. Interesting that Deshaun's still on the bench and facing a 2-0 Panther team that's very surprising on the Matt Rhule. There's some weapons there. Listen, Robbie Anderson and McCaffrey, you know, that's you know, there's some weapons on that team. So, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. I think I picked. I think that spread is a little large. I thought. Let me see what the spread for tonight's game is. Let's see what the spread for tonight is. It's 8, which I think is a lot of points in Houston. I think I took Houston. I they could lose the game. I just don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be close. I think it's under a touchdown. We'll see how well Carolina travels. Interesting. Again, Davis Mills starting at quarterback is the key. I think this would have been a 3-point game had Tyrod Taylor been playing. Jeff, what's your thoughts on? So here's a big Thursday night game. Two teams that most people thought would probably be 0-2 each are Carolina's 2-0 and Houston's a very respectable 1-1. Played pretty well so far in their two games, but Tyrod Taylor's out for Houston, and they're going not to the veteran guy on the bench. They're going to Davis Mills, a rookie, making his first appearance. Jeff, what's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, listen, we knew that it was going to be a while before you seen Deshaun Watson. I don't think you're going to see him play again this year. Makes me wonder if his career in the NFL is even if he even has a career at this point.
Yeah, I have to think that short of him getting completely exonerated, he may have played his last game in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean... You know, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's found innocent,
uh-huh.
he's going to go maybe possibly 2 years, because we don't know what's going to happen. It certainly seems as though he's not going to win this year. And let's say that he doesn't play next year. Uh-huh. I mean, win this year. He don't play this year, and let's say he doesn't play next year because he's supposed to testify in February.
That's correct.
You know, so you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I just don't... I don't know. And who's going to want him?
Well, again, listen. I know that the Dolphins want him. They just didn't want to pay the ransom that Houston wanted for him. I know Houston doesn't want to give him away. They don't know what's going to make going to come out of all of this. So, but
nobody wants to pay the ransom that Houston wants.
I agree. Nobody wants that. But, you know, if you're Houston, you don't want to give him away. And then, you know, turns out that he can play next year and he's, you know, he turns into the star they think he is. And so I get it. Just it's an interesting game tonight. They go to the rookie. They can't go to the veteran guy, the guy who most people thought is a top 5 or 7 or 8 quarterback in the league. Interesting game tonight.
Do you see the Texans possibly signing somebody? Like, who signs Cam Newton? Does Cam Newton get signed before the end of the year?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think Cam Newton, if he's going to get a call, is going to get a call from a team, a veteran team that wants to have somebody there in case their quarterback goes down. Can I see him wind it up? I thought it was going to be Dallas. It doesn't seem like it's going to be. It could be a lot of teams as the season goes. I think teams, once they start separating from the pack, I think somebody with playoff aspirations who wants a little insurance will pick up on Dak. I think he's done nothing to hurt himself. Other than, I'll be honest with you, he does not throw the ball well anymore.
Who?
Dak. Cam Newton does not throw the ball well anymore.
Well, you know what? Right now in this situation with the Texans.
Oh no! Yes, Jeff, that would have been a smart move. Yes. But again, you also bring in a guy who, the minute you bring him in, it's going to start a quarterback controversy in your locker room, because here's a guy who has a resume, and if your quarterback's struggling, you're going to be going, you're going to hear the whispers, why isn't Cam playing?
Well, listen, depends on the team. Let's just say that the Houston Texans came in and signed him.
Yep.
You're going to tell me that Cam Newton is not better than any quarterback on the Texans roster right now, with the exception of Deshaun Watson.
I would agree. Yeah, I would say.
So where would there be a quarterback controversy then?
Don't know. I don't know. Again, you know, also got to remember, a lot of people, and I'm one of them. I'm the first one. I've soured on Cam Newton. I never thought he was great to begin with, But after that Super Bowl loss, the way he played, the way he acted, you know, his one chance was to revitalize his image in New England. And I don't think he did. I mean, between not playing well last year, getting sick with COVID, I think twice, if I'm not mistaken, once last year, once this year, and getting cut from that team, I think a lot of people are saying, if Bill Belichick, who's going with a rookie quarterback and basically has nobody on the bench behind him, cuts this guy, what's he got left? I think that said that cut said a lot to the rest of the league.
Oh yeah, yes it did, but it was also the rumblings that he was cut because he didn't get vaccinated.
Yeah, I'm not buying into that.
I don't know what Belichick's position on vaccination is, and if he himself is vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know, but mm-hmm. I hear you. But right now, it is something to put some credence into. You don't know if it's true or not.
Right.
So you hear the rumor, you have to consider it.
I won't dismiss it. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would not dismiss it. I'm just saying is I haven't heard enough of anywhere. I've not seen that really other than a couple of leaked stories. So I'll just take it that there was a lot of people in that locker room who wanted Cam to play. And if that kid, if he was in the locker room and Jones struggled, there would have been a lot of chatter to get him on the field and play him. So I'm going to take it that that's what he did. We'll see how it plays out, but you're right. I do believe he'll wind up on somebody's roster this year. The one guy that I haven't heard his name all year, and it's been the first year in a while, and I'm happy that I think we're finally past all the where is Colin Kaepernick going to wind up conversation. I think it's finally, Jeff, after 5 years, finally gone away.
There's no reason for it to be up and about because he didn't do anything to help himself out when he had the chance.
Yes.
He sabotaged himself.
I agree.
What more could you do if the opportunity was there and you didn't want to take it? You can't turn around and complain about it now.
I'll agree. And the kickoff's about to happen. So, guys, buckle up. Panthers and the Texans from Houston. Should be a decent game. I mean, more so than I would have gave this 4 weeks ago when I went to schedule. Hey, Jeff, let's run through the league a little bit here. Last week's games, I don't know how many you got to see. I got to watch quite a bit of them. But let's just talk in generals. Jeff, the Raiders come... Huh?
Can't see you, man.
Oh, sorry. The Raiders go across country last week. Derek Carr had a pretty decent game. Let's see. Carr completed 28 of 37 for 382 yards and two touchdowns in a win, a surprising win over the Steelers. Now, I watched this game, Jeff, and the Steelers' offense was, I would say, non-existent. I'm sure Sunday we're going to hear from our good friend John Marhefker about that. Ben looks old. This week he's nursing a pectoral injury. But an impressive thing so far. Two big wins for the Raiders traveling cross country to beat the Steelers this week. Any thoughts on the Steelers and Raiders this week? This past week?
I didn't get to see any of it. But, you know, listen, Roethlisberger, I think it's bad planning on Pittsburgh's part. Is Roethlisberger's replacement on the roster? You know, like, how long are they going to hold on to him? Is it going to be a complete rebuild after this year? Mm-hmm. Are they going to keep him? Are they going to attempt to keep him? I think there's more questions than answers as far as it goes with Roethlisberger, that maybe it's time to start considering, you know, bringing somebody else along while they got Roethlisberger on the roster.
Well, I think that should have been done 2 years ago. But here's the thing.
Because is he capable of giving anybody any kind of lessons at this point in time?
Well, I mean, listen, you can always teach. The question is, can you keep your team competitive while you're teaching? I don't think Ben would have came back this year if he was going to be the backup quarterback, or there was a chance he was going to be the backup quarterback. I think they basically, he came back with the, this is your job. And listen, they haven't gone out there and found anybody. So, yeah, I don't believe their replacement's on the roster yet.
Last year, he did go 11-0 at one point in time.
Again, I don't think he was great last year. I thought last year he was basically done. I was very surprised they brought him back. But then again, I said, there's nobody on their roster. Unless they're going to go out and sign, you know, an Andy Dalton at the time or somebody of that ilk, or draft a quarterback. And I thought if you were going to draft a quarterback, the last couple of years was to do it. Let him play with or behind Roethlisberger for a year. The team's still competitive, and then make the change. But they don't have that guy out there. There's not, you're 100% right, there's not that guy on the team right now. So, but again, I think this.
Where do they go? Do they go free agency? Do they go college through the draft?
You know, Jeff, it's a great question. I think they got to go free agency, because to be honest with you, this team's got a lot of talent right now, and you got to figure they're a mid round draft choice, and to think that you're going to get a guy and he's going to come in next year and turn your team around, I think by the time a quarterback comes back and gets to that point, your roster needs to be turned over again. So. No, if it was me, I would go try to grab somebody in free agency. Who that is, not sure. Maybe it's Deshaun Watson.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, but a good job by the Raiders, John Gruden and his bunch, and a really nice job by Derek Carr. You know, he's got a lot of life in Jeff. Here's a guy who I'm not sure who to make out. Like, at this point, I think he's 7-8 years in the league. How do you classify Derek Carr?
A little bit better than middle of the road. I'd say a top 15 quarterback, between 10 and 15.
Yeah.
The top 10.
Yeah, again, I mean, up till now, I would tell you, again, another guy who has not won the big games, not a guy I would want to put on my shoulders. Of course, I had the half man texting me, he's the man. I told you he's the man. I got to deal with that.
You have one of those texts.
I think I have it somewhere. Yeah, I think I do have those texts.
Can you look and read it? As the half man.
Let me see if I can do that for you. Let me see if I did clean up my things this week. So let me see if I kept it. Hold on. Da da dee dee da. Let's see. Half man. Let's see. This was.
You have him listed as half man in your phone?
No, I do not. Okay, here. Do you believe in Carr and the Raiders now? Two potential playoff teams. One on the East Coast. Two wins. Carr 800 yards. And then I said, no, way too early. But you still believe in the Giants? ? Yeah. So that was my conversation with the half man on Sunday during all of that. Again, greatest, the Carolina Panthers punted. Davis Mills on the field almost fell down trying to throw a screen pass. That was very unsuccessful. Let's move on. Rams beating the Colts. Rams now are, two and oh. That is correct. And the Colts, very lackluster team. Indy is now 0-2. Wentz, I believe, is hurt again.
Two sprained ankles.
Yeah. So, again, not a great game from Stafford. Let me give you his thing, Jeff. He had a couple of late drives, which were good. He finished 19 of 30, 278, two TDs and one interception. Indy tied it on a 35-yard field goal, but quarterback Wentz injured his right ankle on the play before he left and did not return. Carson Wentz is going to, I think he's going to go down as a bust, Jeff. And not even as good as Goff. Would you agree with that at this point?
He certainly ain't doing very good for himself.
Yeah. I think there's, he has not taken his career to the next level. Too many injuries, certainly not enough big, wins. But a good win for the Rams. Again, I'm not, not knocking it, but I'm not on the Ram bandwagon just yet. I don't know if you're on the Ram bandwagon yet, Jeff. I am not yet.
I got a little bit more behind the bandwagon because I saw a replay of a play